The opioid crisis is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dave Chase. He's the co-founder of Health Rosetta and also the author of The Opioid Crisis Wake-Up Call. Dave, it's great to have you back on the program.
My pleasure to be on. Looking forward to the chat.
All right. First of all, what are opioids?
Opioids are a category of medication, you know, sometimes broadly referred to as painkillers, but they're you know, sort of the prescription equivalent of heroin, you know, which is probably the term most people are familiar with. In terms of some of the medications you may have heard of, Percocet, Vicodin, Oxycontin, these sort of medications. And then more recently in the news, you hear about fentanyl, which is, you know, there's both a medical use, and then there's an illicit sort of street version that has flooded some parts of the country and is quite a deadly version of the opioids.
Wow. All right, well, this was reported recently. Federal prosecutors charged nearly 60 doctors, pharmacists, and other medical professionals in connection with alleged opioid pushing and healthcare fraud involving more than 350,000 prescriptions. Estimates of health care fraud in the U.S. are over $300 billion, greater than the entire spending on health care of many countries. Can you go ahead and unpack that? There's a lot of meat there, but go ahead and explain these things. This is amazing. This is probably a problem worse than people realize.
It is, and maybe even worse than some who kind of do realize it, in that the way I look at it, and I think the data is quite clear, that the opioid crisis, as bad as it is, and more people died last year from opioid overdoses than motor vehicle accidents or the entirety of the Vietnam War on the U.S. side. So it's really dramatic. But sadly, it's not an anomaly. It is our healthcare system. This isn't polio or HIV or something that came from outside. This is a self-inflicted wound. And what you see with this arrest, if you kind of pull back and look at the big picture, is there's just not good oversight. And one of the areas that probably misses the most from view is, that's very relevant to the opioid crisis, is the employer's role. Because if you're not low income or elderly, overwhelmingly you get your health benefits and your prescription benefits from your employer. And unfortunately, they've been asleep at the wheel. You know, in fact, kind of the canary in the coal mine of the opioid crisis in the workplace was the Staten Island ferry disaster, you know, 10, 20 years ago, that some listeners may remember. That was actually an opioid deal, and a lot of people aren't even aware of that.
Tell us what happened. I'm not familiar with the details.
Yeah, I mean, I think 11 people died. Basically, the the ferry captain fell asleep. He was overdosing on prescription opioids and, you know, crashed in. It was a disaster that, you know, a significant loss of life. And it was a big story, you know, when it hit. And, you know, at the time, you know, that was 10, 20 years ago, when there was just not the same awareness that there is around the opioid issue. And, you know, as you see in the court, you know, records and some of the news accounts later on, it was indeed opioids that captain was on and should not have been skippering that, but that was, you know, kind of leading the way, unfortunately, in the terms of what was happening with overdose. And he didn't die, but other people did die as a result.
Wow. When you say that opioids killed more Americans last year than did car accidents, I don't think that's well known. I don't think people realize necessarily then what a crisis this is.
It's remarkable. I mean, it's considered by many the largest public health crisis since the 1918 flu epidemic. I mean, it's that bad in terms of the number of deaths, higher than the peak of deaths during the AIDS peak, higher than motor vehicle accidents and so on. I mean, it's just really dramatic.
Is most of the problem happening where doctors basically are subscribing pain-killing pills to patients, and then those patients get hooked on the painkillers?
Yeah, I mean, there's two dynamics at play there. There's the people who get prescribed, follow doctor's orders, and become dependent or addicted. And then a lot of times people go home with, 60, 90 of these pills, and then somebody else, maybe a family member, maybe they sell them, but I think 75, 80% of the people who have overdosed on heroin get them from, started with a prescription opioid. Sometimes their own, sometimes, from a friend or however else. So there's just an incredible volume of these prescription opioids that really started this crisis. And then you've seen more recently that there's been a further spike because as some of the pullback has happened around opioid prescriptions for people who are already addicted, it's just a brutal addiction, brutal withdrawal process. And so if you just cut them off, given that street version of opioids in terms of heroin and fentanyl are quite readily available and less expensive, that's where they go and with deadly consequence.
Okay, tell us about fentanyl.
Yeah, it tends to be what's used in surgery, anesthesia. That's one of the common things, or really extreme pain. And so that has, it's been out there for some time. What's more recent is you have synthetic fentanyl that has largely come in from China. And, that's been available, in the kind of street market. And so sometimes it's laced into heroin, occasionally marijuana, or people just get it straight. And this is a opioid that's like 100x more powerful than a typical prescription opioid. So it really can be deadly if it's not carefully monitored like with an anesthesiologist during surgery.
Would it be safe to say that perhaps a majority of these opioid-related deaths are from fentanyl?
I don't think it's quite the majority. I think last year it was about half.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really spiked recently. Yeah. And like I said, a lot of them started with the prescription opioids, but then it extended because the, addiction and withdrawal is so brutal that, they're kind of chasing a high, and it's definitely a more potent high, assuming you don't die. And so that's kind of been one of the dynamics at play.
This is very interesting because there are a lot of people that just generally they would not be drug users. But I guess what happens is sometimes innocent people who normally would stay away from, any kind of drugs, even marijuana or whatever, they might get some painkillers prescribed by their doctors, and then they become addicted, and then these everyday people become essentially drug addicts? Is that what's happening, essentially?
Yeah, a good sort of microcosm of it is lower back pain. It's the second most common reason people go to the doctor after cold and flu, and 80% of adults will have an acute back episode. I've been one of those. It's like a knife in your back. It's horrible. And what happens in these kind of drive-by appointments that happen in our undermined primary care, a quick way to get somebody in and out is to prescribe a medication, including an opioid for something like lower back pain, even though there is zero evidence that an opioid is effective for something like lower back pain, other than just a short-term masking of pain. It'd be like you're driving down the road and your car makes a horrible noise. You could crank up the radio and kind of drown it out. That's all an opioid will do is kind of mask the pain while it's not addressing the underlying issue. And one out of six people who take an opioid over 7 days will become addicted. And so it's sort of a Russian roulette scenario. So, yeah, they followed directions. They walked out with a prescription. They were told to take them and then became addicted. And so that's definitely one of the significant subsets of the opioid addiction and even overdose death.
Can you go ahead and name some of the most common opioids? And if a doctor does prescribe something like this, maybe the listener should say, I'm sorry, doctor, I'm not going to get this one filled. I'll just stick with Tylenol or with Aleve or Bayer aspirin or something like that. But please name the big ones you're talking about. I heard the word Percocet.
Yeah. Yeah, Percocet is common, Vicodin's common, OxyContin is common. And one of the areas to be particularly aware of this, 30% of first exposure to opioids is in the dental office. Oh. And, you know, people will get their wisdom teeth out, which, by the way, you know, a lot of countries don't take out wisdom teeth unless there's some symptom. That's a whole other example of how we overdo stuff. But then they'll walk out with some huge, you know, bottle of opioids. And, you know, you will be just fine the vast, vast majority of the time with like extra strength Tylenol or Aleve or something like that. And, you know, some ice and, you know, to put it on and at most, you know, take it for, you know, a day or two. You know, and so that's, some people are more susceptible to addiction than others. And that's a, you know, a longer story there, but that's one you just got to be really careful on. Most of the time, you know, A, you don't need the prescription to begin with. But if you do have it, just be really careful.
Wow. So this is a problem that is hitting middle America.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a demographic that's not been impacted. You know, it's been interesting. It's very much common in, you know, suburbia and the city. I mean, there's different, you know, sort of vectors of it. You know, some of the fentanyl overdose deaths recently has come from people who are longtime heroin addicts. And so that's been one subset. But a lot of what, you know, is in the public consciousness is, you know, just the housewife, the high school kid, you know, busts a knee out in a football game and, you know, comes home with, you know, 60 OxyContin, you know, becomes addicted. I mean, we work with people putting in health benefit plans, and one of the benefits consultants, you know, he looked at his book of business and, you know, the number of employees basically and the employees he serves. And in the previous year, 22 people in his plans had overdosed and died, and 20 of the 22 were dependents. I mean, it was just awful. It really caused him to change his way in terms of these benefits plans, because, you know, most of the people impacted are working age people or their dependents, you know, so that employee plan makes a big difference. And it's one of the reasons why you see us, a bunch of lawsuits that are coming now against employers, wrongful death lawsuits, where the surviving family member looks into what's going on. Like, oh my goodness. You know, they look at these level of opioid prescriptions that have gone to their family member that they've lost. And they're like, who is overseeing this? This is crazy. And so that's what has been a trigger for the lawsuits against employers, which hasn't gotten the visibility that the ones against the opioid makers. I'm certainly all for holding the opioid makers and, you know, the pharmacy benefit managers and the carriers and all the folks, the distributors who contributed to this.
Wow, this is a bigger problem.
They should be held accountable.
This is probably a bigger problem than the average listener would realize. We only have about a minute left. Since you mentioned that about half the deaths come from fentanyl, and since you mentioned there's a street version of fentanyl, which is the far more dangerous one, where is this coming from? I mean, is this coming through our porous southern borders that some are trying to, you know, secure? Is it coming? Where's it coming from?
There's some coming through the southern border. Probably the biggest is our ports. You know, it's very, very small amounts are very potent. Mm. And so it's been quite easy to bring it through our ports. And if you look at, you know, most of, you know, there's an incredible volume.
Like in a smuggling type version?
No, just, you know, just in a regular, you know, shipping containers, you know, I mean, you know, coming with the, you know, the toys that are going into Walmart or whatever from China, you know, there's stuff that's smuggled in because it's such small amounts that they can, you know, they've been able to get it through the ports.
Wow. All right. We're basically out of time. Do you have a website, though, for more information?
Well, if you go to healthrosetta.org/friends, we actually have a free download of the Opioid Crisis Wake-Up Call, which is the book I wrote. And so there's a free download of the book. It really breaks down the 12 major drivers, how this all came together, how it's kind of a microcosm of the larger problem. So that's a good place to get started, and there's links to more resources there.
Okay, Dave Chase, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.